Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. My name is Clark Covington, and I am your Bible teacher today. I don't know. I'm trying to throw that word in the phrase in there, Bible teacher, more than just pastor. Amen. I'm doing more Bible teaching than I am pastoring at this time. So I try to clarify. Amen. But okay. All right. You know what's up. You know what's going on. Here we are in Genesis chapter 8. And we are going to look here an interesting part of Genesis 8. So I love the chapters in the Bible. We know chapters were added later on. They weren't part of the original manuscripts that I understand. They were added later on. And of course, those phrases you see in the Bible that are bolded out are typically added by the publisher or a scholar or whatever. It's not actually part of the inherent written word of God. Those can be handy. And in this passage of scripture, though the phrase isn't really put there, you kind of have three or four sections. So Genesis 8, what we've been talking about is when God stops the flood. And that's like Genesis 8, 1 through 4, okay? Like he parks the ark, he stops the flooding. And then we have this interesting part of Genesis 8 from 5 down to about 12, where the flood has stopped. And now Noah is trying to figure out, with the help of some of these critters on the ark, how he's going to get off. Like, how is this going to end? How is he going to get off the boat? He understands the rain after 40 days has stopped. He understands, I'm sure, the boat is on some kind of high place. And if you imagine in the ark, the window being at the top, he's just kind of looking out at the sky. So he's trying to navigate things. And so we have this interesting passage here dealing with trying to navigate getting off the ark. And then after that, which we'll tackle in a future series of episodes, is when they get off the ark, everything kind of marches off. Noah builds an altar to the Lord. He makes a sacrifice. God makes his promise that he is not going to flood the earth again. Also, interestingly, promises that we'll have seed time and harvest. We'll have winter and summer, cold and heat, day and night. So that is Genesis 8 in a nutshell. That's kind of like the Cliff Notes, or if you want to, it could be the Clark Notes. Okay, I couldn't help it. My brother's named Cliff, so the Clark Notes. But that is Genesis 8, and this passage is really interesting. I have to say, I've studied more for these next couple of messages here than for a lot of the Bible that we've talked about over the last, over 100 episodes now, because I want to make sure I don't miss anything. And if I'm honest, there is so much more to it. So what we'll do, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to tackle this passage of scripture. I prefer to read it after our break, so it's fresh on your mind as we look at this interim period between the flooding stopping and before Noah and the animals and his family gets out the ark. So stay tuned and we'll tackle it when we get back from this break.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, amen. Welcome back. And here we are. I'm going to read this scripture, Genesis 8, 5 through 12. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf, pluck it off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. All right, so that is Genesis chapter 8, verses 5 through 12. And we see in this scripture a description of what is happening as the waters are starting to recede or go down, and God is preparing for Noah and his family and all the animals to leave the ark. And there are so many people out there that, you know, just are ravished by, hey, where is the ark? And people dedicate their whole lives to trying to discover their ark. Filmmakers make documentaries about those people trying to find where the actual ark is. But what's kind of funny and really ironic is there's so much information in God's word here to help us understand more about what happened with the ark and what was going on at this time and all the different things that God wants us to know, that it really makes sense just to study his word and ask questions about, hey, what does this mean, right? And first we see in this section of scripture a timeline. We see that, you know what, we have the tops of the mountains become visible on the 10th month, the first day, okay? The first day of the 10th month. And this calendar could be different than ours, so it doesn't necessarily mean October. They're probably talking about the calendar native to them at that time. And this would be line up with 224 days of the duration from the time the fountains of the great deep broke apart until now. Okay, we got around 224 days. If you think of this whole episode of the flood and coming off the ark as lasting about 1 year, you can see they're two-thirds or so through this whole season of time. This period lasted 74 days. And then we see in verse 6 that 40 more days passes and Noah opens the window of the ark. Okay, and so we see here you have 40 more days. So 224 days plus 40 is 264 days. And now, if you're looking at this, you're at a 264, right? A year to us is 365. 370 was the amount of days that Bible scholars believe that this whole season took place from the time of the fountains of the great deep being broken up till the time that the earth was dry and they exited the ark. We see here that 264, you're within about 100-day time period of when they're going to get off. And you see that God is working this far ahead. Amen. And so this far ahead, God's already saying, I'm going to let you off the ark, but not yet. And I'm going to prepare now for that time. And so what we can take from this is in our lives, as we face trials and we face God working in our life, he's operating on a timeline that we can't see. Like Noah didn't know how many more days, I don't think. And so Noah just trusted God, follow God's lead. And part of following God's lead was, remember God told him to put a window in the ark? God commanded him to do that, didn't he? God said, you need to put a window in this ark. Amen. And we see here the significance of the window that here in verse, 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. So that window was closed. He finally was able to open that window. Did they have a window like a glass window? Was it more like a hatch or like a drawing type of little door? I have no idea. But he opened it. And we see that this window is now going to play a role in Noah doing some R&D, doing some research and development, trying to figure out when he can exit the ark by nature of the messenger. And the messenger here is going to be birds. Amen. And we see here in Genesis, what is it? Let's see here, verse 7. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Okay, so let's focus on Genesis 8, verse 7 for a little bit here. We see the importance of the window. God made a way for Noah to interface with the world prior to the flood. So the first lesson we have here, beyond just be patient as, you know, God's working 100 days ahead of you, if you will, like he was with Noah, but he's working many steps ahead. And by the way, you can also, if you love the Lord, you've been living for God, you can look back and see how many times God has worked in advance, you know, had gone before you, if you will, be the Bible phrase, and see what he's done for you. And so, wow, look what God did there that prepared me for this. I remember when COVID broke out and there was a man who made a Facebook post. I came upon this post years ago, and it said something to the extent of, God had been preparing me for 10 years for this moment. And God had had him develop I don't know the scientific term, but something like a really strong Lysol disinfectant. But it was very, very strong, industrial grade, came in big bottles, was very helpful to use in like a gym-like setting where germs were spread or at schools. And his product was just at the right time for all of these institutions that were trying to get back to normal, if you will, or some semblance of normal after all these lockdowns, or as these lockdowns were starting to recede like these waters were. And here this man was prepared and he was giving God all the glory. But all those 10 years prior to when he was developing the product, he didn't know, he had no idea that there would be a need for an industrial disinfectant of this type in this manner in this season. And he was just praising God. I can't imagine what that moment was like for him to see God, to look back and see how God had worked for all those years. And we can look back and see all that God has done in our lives. I think of all of the work projects that I've had that dealt with audio development and video editing and audio editing and storytelling and teaching and all of the work I've done over my 40, really since I being a kid, but over my 40, let's see, I'm 44. I had to think about it. I'm getting old, 44 years of life, you know, I mean, even, cause even the hobbies I had as a child, the interests I had as a child, I was, probably my kid's age, 7, 8, 9. And I had a big book, like it looked like a phone book and it was full of computers and I couldn't afford a computer. I was 8, you know, but I was saving for one and I would look in the book at the pictures. And of course, this was back in the 90s or even the 80s. This is probably in the 80s. And so back then the computers looked a lot different than they do today, but they had them out there and I would just look at the pictures and I would dream about the different computers and stuff. Well, who did that? Who made me like that? Did I do that? Did I define myself with that interest? No, God put that interest on my heart. And so God back then at the age of 7, 8, 9 years old was working something out that I would be doing here in my 30s and 40s and serving him. And think of your life, you know, what you're doing now, what God has done for you, and maybe what God's preparing you to do in the future. Sometimes it is so plain to see. You'll have someone that's like grew up and they always wanted to be a nurse and they're a nurse and they're on the mission field and they're using that training every single day. Or you have so many preachers, ask them what they were going to do before they're called to the ministry. So many of them were going to be teachers. They're going to be teachers in high school, music teachers, history teachers. You know, that was really what I thought I was going to do. Amen. I thought I was going to be a college professor. I had a nice sociology professor and he told me, what do you want to do with your life, son? I said, oh, I think what you're doing is pretty good. And then the church I was going to, the preacher took me out to lunch. He said, I want to take you out to lunch. He took me out to lunch. He said, young man, you know, you're faithful to our church. You know, I want to know, what are you planning to do when you graduate? I said, well, I think I'd be like this professor over here. He's got a pretty cool schedule and he gets to teach and spend time with these young folks and so forth. And he kind of looked at me quizzically and he said, well, if you're not going to be a pastor, I guess that's the second best thing you can do. And of course, I can't imagine God wasn't laughing in heaven because sure enough, I became a pastor and I'm no longer a college professor. Amen. So, hey, there you go. And it's not just about what God's done in my life, but you look at the lives of those of you and the lives of those around you, and you will see such a specificity. And what God had done with Noah, he said, put that window in the ark. And then guess what? Now you need the window. And with that window, both Noah is staying dry and safe in the ark. And at the same time, he's able to interface with the world and start to measure what's going on with how the waters are receding to come to a place where he can exit that ark in victory. Amen. In victory. I can't think of any other way to say it. When you look at the end of Genesis 8, we'll get to it. Like I said, in a few episodes, there's a victorious moment there where they're, you know, Noah's doing the sacrifices. The smell is sweet to God. Amen. God's pledging. He's not going to do this again. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that whole ceremony, because, you know, when a storm gets real bad, I can tell myself, hey, it's not going to get too bad to bear. God's not going to wipe us out. Amen. We had hail the other day. I said, nope, I remember Noah. I remember that sacrifice. So just think on what God's doing in your life and praise God for how he's training you and leading you to do something great for him. I believe it. No matter the age, I believe he's going to do something great through you, through what he's doing now. Tune in next time. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.